This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Olshan.
All right, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I'm your host, Steve Olshan, along with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello, Steve Olshan.
Hello, Richard Tay.
Hello, Steve.
Can I call you lovely as well?
Sure.
All right, I've been called worse. I think lovely is a pretty good thing to call a man.
Have you ever called
a man lovely? Like, ever?
Montel.
You called Montel lovely?
He's lovely. He's one of the most lovely gentlemen I've ever met.
Wait, so you met him in person?
You'd call The Rock lovely.
You were on his show. That is so cool. Was he bald then or was he not bald then?
I don't know. I think he was born bald.
He was born?
I don't know. His staff stayed with him for 17 years, and they were just devoted to him.
17 years?
Yeah. They
was he
loved
on
him.
The air that long?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
He was lovely.
You know, which plays perfectly into today's episode, because I am sure that his staff was very forgiving of some of the things that that he must have transgressed against them over the years here. So, all right, let's do this. Let's bring Sean on because, well, first and foremost, it's just an honor and a privilege to have you on, Dr. Sean DePerron. We can call you doctor now, can't we?
You can, and I'm going to call you lovely.
Oh, that is so sweet. So when was it official that you became Dr. Sean DePerron?
For December 2nd, 2015, etched like a tattoo across my forehead.
Oh, man, that's
nice.
Great.
And congratulations.
So it's like the best, like,
and
it's a straight PhD, correct?
It is.
Yeah.
And you talk about, like, reinvention. Like, I have to reinvent who I'm going to be as a PhD now.
Right.
That's a different, it's a reinvention.
Well, you also had to reinvent the focus of what the doctorate was going to be in general, because maybe I'm wrong here, but is there anyone else in the world that is a doctor that focuses in your area of expertise?
There are.
Oh, there are. Okay.
It's in communication. There's probably about 100 of us globally with a deep expertise in gossip.
In gossip. That's so cool. So just for those, okay, so let's back up. Let's back up for 28, right? I know, rewind for 12 seconds here. So for those who do not know you, I'm going to let you give the overview here of who Dr. Sean DePerron is. And by the way, let me be the first to say that we not only have just an amazing woman here with us, we have a Nobel Peace Prize nominee with us. I can honestly say that I have never, I don't even think I've even spoken to, most of the time, like, those people run away from me.
I was just going to say, Doctor, why are you on our show?
Well, you guys say this is where normal comes to die.
Yes.
Yeah, and
that's
it does.
That's your thing.
And it does.
Yeah.
All right, so for the Dr. Sean DePerron overview, for those who don't know you, just kind of give us that 30 seconds, please.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time talking about this conversation of gossip. How do you grow your marketing? How do you generate? And our case study is Project Forgive, mm-hmm. which actually became a global movement. We're reaching frickin' millions now.
Wow.
And that's how we got nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, with Desmond Tutu endorsing us and some really influential folks getting excited by what we're doing. And I used gossip theory to make this thing go so global.
Mm-hmm. But your background, though, is pretty stellar as well. I mean, you are an Emmy. I mean, you've got, like, do you actually have, like, one of those awards on a shelf somewhere?
I do. I have six Emmys now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
So my background is production. So I was, worked in news for a long time. I work with a lot of corporations and entrepreneurs around communication leadership, specifically entrepreneurs, social media, and traditional media. What I'm probably most known for is a media trainer,
mm-hmm.
like how to really cause and generate in media and traditional media. And now social media, because we're rocking it out.
Yeah. What do you think is the primary difference between the way that you're supposed to communicate, the things that you're supposed to do on this whole sort of platform of new media like social versus the traditional old media platforms like radio and TV and I guess even print, right?
Yeah. I would say it's more people are getting courageous, because on social media, you can sit at your computer and say stuff and be a little more courageous. It takes a lot more guts to be interviewed by a reporter, and so there's a fewer pool of folks that will be interviewed by a reporter, and, whether it's New York Times, whether it's your ABC station, or even your radio show for that matter,
mm-hmm.
folks feel safer on social media, so the noise has gotten louder.
So shouldn't the training be like even more extensive then? Because the, I mean, at least with traditional media, there's a gatekeeper. I mean, there's somebody who gives you a little bit of vetting and well, in some cases, a lot of vetting before they hand you the microphone, before they put you on camera. And so with social media, there's no gatekeeper. So you would think like training would be even more important, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at that, the gatekeeper for social media is the public. And if people aren't responding, if people aren't liking you, like I look at your show, how as a gossip researcher, I'd say your show is so successful because of your authenticity. Mm. Like how we talk right now is how we talked when we were at an event for the Evolutionary Business Council.
Yeah,
you are
sure.
The same person. No matter where I see you, maybe a little bit more excited on your show because you're fun and playful. And you get what I'm saying. And I'm already getting the same kind of playfulness from Mary. I can already feel it.
See?
And
yeah.
That's when you are frickin' authentic and you're the real deal. And you know what's really cool to watch right now? Because Facebook Live is like going crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the traditional anchors on TV news going live. And they're bombing. They are sucking because they're used to being in a place of authority that's not very authentic for how we interact in social media. So the primary game is authenticity for sure.
So have we...
I totally agree with that.
And I guess the question is, so have we, in your mind, let's just say the individual person, whether it be a true influencer that can reach millions of people or someone who has a smaller following of, you know, 5, 10, 20,000, whatever it is, in your mind, is the are we shifting to the media being you and me, or is this just simply going to be a complementary piece to the TV and the radio and those sort of media channels?
Oh, I think it's going to overtake TV and radio totally and completely because traditional TV is those anchors, they're so inauthentic. That's old school, the 50 and above mindset, corporate folks.
It's fundamental journalism.
You know, I'm sorry?
It's fundamental journalism. They're taught to not have their own opinion, not to have any color or personality to them.
Spot on. You got a smart chick there, Mr. Steve. She is a smart chick. Absolutely. And it's old school. It's not, it feels old, just like the Brady Bunch song. You know? It's like you can't listen to the Monkees forever.
Although I still have the Beach Boys playing in my car. I just, you know, now that I moved to California, I can drive my kids crazy because the only song I play on the car whenever they get in is I Wish They Could All Be California Girls, you know? And so that's just
mine's Queen and Led Zeppelin.
And there we go. All right. So, So let me just make sure that we're clear here. Are you still doing anything in media that becomes like Emmy worthy, or are you out of that arena altogether now?
No, I am. Like, what we're getting ready to do, and I'm kind of curious to see how I'm going to do the marketing, because marketing is changing so much. And applying gossip theory is going to make the biggest difference. Well, we got the documentary for Project Forgive coming out, and that's how Project Forgive got started, is we did a little video that went viral. And I'm a producer by trade, so we made this stellar video. The third attempt is what went viral. It was by the third attempt. And here's me, even being an Emmy winner, it took me 3 serious tries before I could tip it over in that realm of virility and having a PhD in gossip, right? So it takes something to have it tip over. And that's how Project Forgive started. We had no desire, no inkling, no even a glimpse of starting a foundation. Mm-hmm. And because of the popularity and because of what happened in that viral conversation, we started a foundation. Wow. So we got that going, and now we're getting ready to launch the movie. And now I'm excited to try some new things in social media. And because video is hot. Video is so hot now everywhere, especially on Facebook. And I spend a lot of time on Facebook. And the algorithms will grab you when you're placing more video on your business pages. And even when you're doing video, when you're a business owner, I would highly recommend don't be doing videos in your personal feed. Do it on your business page. Get that going, because you're only limited to 5,000 people on your personal page. Of course, you can get followers and all that. There's a different chi to doing it on a business page.
Yeah, and Mary, I know you have a question specifically related to gossip, but let me ask you this before because I know I'm totally going to forget. If you listen to the show, you know that as soon as I go off on a tangent, like, it's gone. Like, forget about it.
Yeah,
you're not going to come back to it. So I'm curious,
what
did you learn between the first and second video and then the third video? Because there's a lot of people out there who would love for whatever it is that they're working on to go viral and attain that sort of, you know, mass exposure that you've been able to get there. What do you think is the primary difference between the first version, the second version, and then the second version and the third version of that.
Yep. So really straight talk?
Yes.
Yeah, and you can swear. We're not FCC regulated right now.
Okay, good. The first version, and this is more about what's going on for me. The first version was too narcissistic. I was too narcissistic diving in, and I'm going to talk about incest. Is that okay?
Please do. Please do.
Okay. A lot of folks know I talk very openly about being an incest survivor, and I know it's always a deep breath for folks, and I've done a lot of the forgiveness work, and actually I'm at the point as a grandma that, wow, not that it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It also caused me to be who I am today, and which is a pretty compassionate, powerful gal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first video was really about my incest recovery. And so the people that know, love me, and I have lots of followers, and I have lots of fans, and lots of people that go to boot camp, and blah, 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 they all donated. We did a Kickstarter campaign. But it topped, because people that didn't know me, from a marketing standpoint, some people, as soon as they hear the word incest, they go, oh my gosh, I'm running away from this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second version, we actually got an ad agency to help us pro bono, and everything they were telling me to do, I'm like, that is just bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Yeah, of course you can.
You just did.
Okay, that is just bullshit. And it was the secret of forgiveness. This is after the secret, too, because we launched this like three and a half years ago, the first launch. And I knew it was wrong, but I said, Sean, just go with it. Let them do it, because the right answers will come.
All right, let's do this.
So we did that one.
All right, let's do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here. We got to pay some bills. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break here on Reimagined Radio, and we will continue the story with Sean DePeron and what made it go viral there in that third attempt. All right, more right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. And, man, that was a cliffhanger. Like, I'm sitting over the break.
Well.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm like, oh, now I got to know. All right, so we got Dr. Sean DePeron on the line here. And by the way, now Wade is thoroughly convinced that you are pronouncing your name nowadays Shawnee. And that's the funniest thing, because when we first met, that's what I was calling you, and you were just like, oh, that's, you know, sweet. I think that was like, I'm the only other person who called you that other than like maybe your dad or whoever it was. Are you allowing people to call you Shawnee again?
More people are just doing it because I'm big into this grandma thing. People usually avoid this conversation like the plague. It's my funnest thing, and I'm Grandma Shawnee, so I love it. So more people are calling me Shawnee.
All right, good. So I was like, oh man, I guess I made a mistake. I'm calling you Shawnee. She's like, it's Sean, but you can call me Shawnee. And that was very
I
cute.
Like it when you call me Sean. You're very, because I like you,
so it's
all good.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sitting here puking on you. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I like wrecking your brakes?
No, Mary is puking for all of us at this point, so we're good on that. But all right, so you were so rudely interrupted by that break to, you know, commercial break music there, and you were talking about the difference between the narcissistic version number one and you're being very open and frank about your being a survivor of incest, and then moving to something that wasn't so harsh, I think, for people to accept in the second version. So take us from the first to the second version, and then the second to the third, and I think it'll segue nicely into our conversation here around Project Forgive.
Sounds good. So the, from the first version, which was narcissistic about me, 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 and the people that love me, to the second version with an ad agency talking about the secret of forgiveness, which was just crap, the new ideas started to come, and I started applying gossip theory to it. Look, went back to my journalism background. Oh, my gosh, what was missing was a story. We had the most compelling story that existed on the planet, and once we told the story in a compelling, productive, high-production way, and I don't mean high production value because we shot it in one day and edited it the next and rock and roll, and it was the story that really caused it to go.
So wait, I'm clear on here, because you were ostensibly telling the story of your forgiveness process and so on. What was the difference between your story and the story that you told in this third version?
My story was more about me and my incest and why forgiveness is so big of a deal. Mm-hmm. And the third story was actually why the thing even started to begin with. A friend of ours losing his wife and two children to a drunk driver. It was a dear friend of ours.
Yeah.
And then finding out that the man who killed him was also another dear family friend, and how forgiveness played out between these two. And, of course, Gary, the man who's in the video, is so exquisite and so compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And then our ask was great, too, because, you know, in marketing, your ask is really important.
Mm-hmm. What was that call to action? What was the ask?
It was two things. Share your story and donate if you're inspired. And we probably raised the bulk of it, almost $100,000 in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Nice.
So how does this whole conversation around forgiveness then dovetail into your focus and your curiosity and your studies around gossip?
Yeah. You know, there's gossip. Usually when you hear the word gossip, you think mean and nasty. That's typically what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the research shows. We're actually really good people. That mean, nasty stuff is only about 5 to 7%. And you know this better than anybody, Steve, that word of mouth or good gossip about what you do, especially when it goes viral on the Internet, can really cause your business to powerfully grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, in my studies, looking at the functions of gossip, what makes people talk? And that's what a lot of my studies are about. And so we started applying those principles along with good social media strategies, and we really started to grow. And I have to say, though, like, someone can tell you, oh, go do this strategy, and it might work for a while because social media is changing so much. But the truth is, we're in the new frontier. You got to be trying new things all the time. Like what we're getting ready to do for the movie, the game is to make people salivate by the time it launches in December. I haven't decided if it's going to be on PBS in December or January because we're launching it on PBS.
Mm.
And I'm going to make people salivate until it comes out, showing these small clips because video is so hot in social media. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know where you're spending a lot of your time in social media. Like everyone's saying, get on Periscope, get on Blab. And I have some very different theories about what you should be doing on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Such as?
If we're almost about to reach 1 million likes on Facebook and reaching about 40 million a month, I am not going to go to frickin' Blab.
Right.
Why would I go on Blab and make my party, my big, gigantic, huge party, move to another restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I'd lose some straight. They're going to get lost. They're going to get scared. They're in a bad neighborhood, whatever. They're nervous. I already got the audience. I already got a captive restaurant.
Yeah. Do you feel like people are jumping from platform to platform too quickly in the social arena?
Yeah, especially as a business owner, and you know this, especially with the folks that you work with, Steve. We don't want to get left behind. We want to stay caught up.
Mm-hmm.
My philosophy is get so good at one platform and do a little bit on the others and then pick your next one. Where I'm going next, where I'm spending a lot of time, is YouTube, because Facebook is sucking with the algorithms. I'm telling you, you can do all kinds of work, do all the things right, be rewarded, and then all of a sudden the algorithms change again.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is trying to work like a search engine optimized platform, and it's not. We don't go on Facebook and search something.
Mm-hmm.
We don't say, put in a funny poster, or I need an article on. You don't do that on Facebook. You're perusing. Versus when you go to YouTube, it's actual search engine optimized. It's a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually build your success on YouTube in a more powerful way. Now I'm going to be combining Facebook and YouTube together.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already met the needs that I need to meet on Facebook with, like, because we get a lot of corporate sponsors and doing Facebook Lives and those kinds of things. And so now I'm going to really start growing on YouTube is my next game.
Yeah, and so for those who are unclear, you talk about gossip, and you put it in two categories, obviously the bad gossip, the good gossip. What is the primary difference between the two?
Well, the good gossip would be, and I'm going to give you a couple examples. Oh, my gosh, you got to listen to Reinvention Radio. You're going to laugh. There's going to be great guests. Mary is just a hoot, and she shouldn't be on radio because I heard she's a hottie. Like, that would be good gossip, right? Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And another good gossip would be, oh, my gosh, don't use that plumber. He's going to take your $100 deposit, and he's not going to come back and finish the job. In my realm of interpretation, that's good gossip.
That's good gossip. Oh, because
it's
a warning.
That is good. Yes. Hmm. And actually, research shows about 90% of what comes out of our mouths is gossip. 90%. That's talking about someone who's not there, or a movie, or a situation. And it's like in anthropology, we call it our bug picking, because how gorillas, connect, yeah. And how they create a relationship is they pick bugs off of each other. Even when there's no bugs, they're constantly picking bugs off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And gossip is our bug picking to connect socially.
Yeah, maybe that's what that little boy was trying to do. Like he's got 2010 vision, and like from where he was 30 feet up, he was like, I see a bug on that gorilla. I'm gonna go get the bug off of that gorilla. So he was just trying to do a good deed, and then the gorilla got killed.
As soon as I said
girl,
I'm like, oh crap.
You knew
right
that was going.
That.
Harambe.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Can I bounce on that gorilla thing
real
quick?
Oh, please do.
And of course, this is, you know, in perpetuity, this is when that little boy fell in the thing and they shot the gorilla, Harambe, whatever his name was. The gossip that happened, there's all kinds of gossip happening, and this is classic gossip theory. When a social norm is violated, we cannot not gossip. We have to gossip. So the baby falling in there is violating a social norm. Parents aren't taking care of their kids. The gorilla is, they have to shoot the gorilla to save the baby. That's violating social norms of animal rights. So it's going to bring up all kinds of stuff. Classic gossip theory.
And so how did you then shift into, because I mean, look, reality is that what you were doing on the Nobel Peace Prize side of the equation, I mean, that's all through that Project Forgiveness. Now, that's a nonprofit thing. Do you get paid for it? Like, I know you're doing the media training and all that, and you're in different worlds.
Yeah.
But so how do you do all of this stuff? And in with the Project Forgiveness, I mean, obviously that's something that's near and dear to your heart. But there's no, I mean, you're a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, but there's no money in any of that stuff, is there?
This is a great question, and I got to correct the branding because we're Project Forgive, because there's other projects, like in the UK, called Project Forgiveness, so I just want to clear that. Is that okay that
yes,
I do that?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So that in any business owner, we go through these quandaries, like different phases of our life, like what do we want? Where do we want to spend our time? And Project Forgive, everything on Project Forgive is free, and how I've designed it, this is actually just brilliant. Is all these services are free, and we are sponsored by philanthropists, which are awesome, people donating, and also large corporate sponsors. And these large corporate sponsors are the folks that hire me to come in and train, because I do a lot of training for folks like Verizon Wireless, Henry Ford Health System, Nissan. These are big clients of mine that, as they've watched the growth of this project and the numbers that we're reaching, they're like, jaw is dropping, like, oh, my gosh, how can we get involved? So the training I do as a speaker in Shawn TV actually transfers into Project Forgive because we're focused on leadership training for university students. So it all goes together. It's just like, it's like a symphony. It's just like so fun.
Yeah. And so you find that the work that you're doing in that realm then translates to what you're doing on the for-profit side. So that's, but that wasn't, I don't think going in though, that was something that you were really thinking about. Like, how do I create something that gives me all of this exposure? And then I'm going to parlay that into business. Were you, I mean, you did this more for altruistic reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea where this is going. And if someone would have told me I was going to start a foundation even, you know, 6 years ago, I would have said, you're nuts. I love what I do. I'm having so much fun. And doing Shawn TV and these communication trainings, working with entrepreneurs, whatever. And I haven't stopped doing that. I'm just doing less of it. And actually going, and this is the true thing about entrepreneurship, is what lights you on fire? What makes your heart sing?
Yep.
And doing this work for Project Forgive, just I jump out of bed, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't get me wrong, I still work, like one of my clients is Stardock. They're like a $25 million video game company. I sit and work with them in consulting for good gossip strategies.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's continue the conversation here on Reinvention Radio with Dr. Sean DePeron right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Oh, man. All right, so before we completely run out of time here, and I don't want that to happen, but it naturally does here in this last segment, we got Dr. Sean DePeron on with us. But if people want to get more information about you, where's the best place for them to go?
They're going to go to ShawneeTV, ShawneeTV.com, or head to ProjectForgive.com.
All right, awesome. Now, question of the moment.
I got to say something. I just want to shamelessly plug you because, you know, I'm listening. What I love about you is you're so fast, and chances are really high that you attract very fast people, like they're listening. Even our interview was just so freaking fast, which just, like, I'm jumping out of my skin because it's so much fun to me. And I just want to shamelessly plug the Reinvention Workshop. Because who you are now, and especially when you go to workshops, you know, sometimes you just want to shoot yourself in the head, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I stayed here for 6 hours to get 20 minutes of content.
Right.
I just really want to inspire people to pay attention to that for you, especially if you like fast and you really like charismatic presenters, which you are, Steve.
Oh, thank
and you.
You
didn't ask me to do this.
You did not.
I feel compelled to do it.
You're killing me, Sean.
This is good gossip.
Okay, yeah, you're killing me.
This is good gossip right here.
You know what we're left with?
It is. The other thing is that influence document you have. Do you know I use that weekly? Now, I don't even know if you still got it or if it's... I got it for free. Can people still get that for free?
Can I get that for free?
No, now we're selling it for $368. And honestly, we should be selling that damn thing, but that's awesome. So you use it. That's cool. Can I tell you that Seth...
I do. That is a stellar document. If you want to play in social media, get this influencer document because social media really is about connecting with influencers and giving others influence so they'll give you influence back. And to this day, I've mentioned it when I speak. You don't even know that. I'm like, oh my gosh, this document is so great. Look up Steve Olscher. Maybe after this, she'll give me the link so I can like tell people where to go.
It's hidden right now. Can I tell you that Seth Godin and I have been chatting for years? The only time he's ever chatted with me really is to tell me no because I always ask him to like come on the show or like, you know, come speak or whatever. It is. And of course, when the director of influencers comes out, he writes to me again. He goes, Steve, I really don't want to be in here. It's like, can I tell you, and it's funny, you talk about gossip, right? I mean, good gossip, bad gossip. And here we are saying, here are 241 of the world's leading influencers. These are people you should know. Now, granted, we probably went one step too far by giving out contact info, but all that stuff is public. It's not like I went into my personal Rolodex and said, hey, you know, here's Seth Godin's personal email address. It's all available, you know, in public view. I mean, you just got to dig a little bit to find some of that stuff. But
it's just a great compilation.
Well,
great compilation.
Thank you for that. But like Ted Coyne and Seth and Ted Rubin and some others all wrote to me and were basically like, we want out. Like, you don't put us in there because, like, we spent four pages telling people why they shouldn't contact all of these people because they're not ready to contact them. And of course, people don't listen. But then it's really interesting how, like, people – and what's your take on that, Sean? Because people want to have that sort of – you know, they want that exposure. They want that credibility. They want that authority because they want the inbound so that they get, you know, asked to speak. They get hired for you know, by corporations, et cetera. And here we are providing them with exposure and saying, hey, we are gossiping about you. We're saying you are someone that people should know. We're giving you that exposure. But they're coming back and saying, hey, that's all well and good, but we don't want it. What's your take on that?
Because what's happening is they're getting, just like in Teresa de Grobois' book, Mass Influence, they've got desperate business owners doing the premature ask. And I'm in conversation with Seth Godin, similar to you. He even calls me Doc now. Thanks, Doc. Or what do you think, Doc?
Yeah.
Like he knew when I graduated. Because I am going to come to him when I'm after my second book, when I'm ready, I'm going to see if he'll help me write, you know, I'll probably get a no, but I'm still going to play the game. I've been courting him for 7 years because everybody wants a piece of Seth Godin. And he has a lot of desperate people, you know, saying, do this, do this. And he's just like, no, get away from me.
Right.
He's busy.
Yeah. And I hear, I actually call that, I have a term for that. Do you know my term for when you ask for something too soon?
What?
Premature asculation.
You're so funny.
Right? That's that's, thank you very
perfect.
Much. All right.
People screw up.
Even Paul left in the control
premature
booth.
Asculation. Oh, they like that one.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And so let me ask you this, because we're right now obviously in the middle of all this political, you know, moronacy. Right? It's just, it's nuts. I mean, we've got the lesser of two evils. I don't know what we're going to do with our world after this. But how do we look at people like a Trump and apply forgiveness to some of the things that he has done? I mean, because if you look at it, he has been involved in 3,500 lawsuits over the last, you know, 20-odd years.
That's an insane number.
3,500, and not all the time is he being the defendant. Sometimes he's the plaintiff. So he works it both ways. But do we forgive someone like that who's got that sort of storied past?
Yeah, let me play on your premature forgiving. How's that?
Ooh.
Because forgiveness has stages to it. Okay, it's premature forgiving because we got to be angry for a while. The only reason, and this is me, okay, the only reason Trump has risen to power is because he's tapping into what people are so angry about. People are just fed up, just disgusted, and they want something different. And lo and behold, Trump pops up here. And can we forgive him? Maybe in time. But forgiveness has stages. It has shock, anger, grief, acceptance, and then finally solution. And we're not even past the angry stage. So it's going to be a long time coming before we're forgiven. We got stuff to work through. And that's the problem that happens a lot with people in forgiveness. They try to forgive too quickly, and it's inauthentic.
Yeah. And when you look at somebody like a Bernie Madoff, right? So now it's been, I don't know, it's been 10 years? I mean, it's been
really that long?
It's been a while. I don't know the exact number on it, but
getting old fast.
I know, right? But it's been a while. Or like an Enron, right? An Enron, MCI, whatever, you know, those blow ups. What do we do to help people get past that? Because those types of things really hurt people in serious ways. How do you get those folks past that to forgive what happened?
Yeah, and you know what? The best approach to this is, how does it apply to you? Because I bet most of the people listening that are business owners have been screwed over, not to the capacity of Madoff, not to that capacity. But the truth is, I had one guy. I lost 20 grand with him in 4 months, and I saw the red flags. And now I could blame this guy. Here, this happened like 8 years ago. I could blame him, but I was in a stage of desperation when I played with him. I saw the red flags. It's kind of like you want to marry a guy, and you're falling in love with him, and he's drinking six beers, and you're not noticing that he drank six beers in 15 minutes.
I've been there.
Denial. Okay. Yeah, it's the same thing in a business partnership. You know it's going south, and yet you picked them. And when you can get to the place of personal responsibility, and even though, you know, all this investment money, those people are still personally responsible for being swindled, because I will bet you $1 billion there were some red flags, and we bury our head in the sand when there's red flags.
So when you go through that type of experience, it hones your instincts that you're like, you know what, I don't want to feel that way again or experience something like that again.
Should you go with your gut?
I would do that.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Going with your gut is great. And you know what, the only way you really learn is to make mistakes. And this guy that I lost 20 grand with in that four-month period, that was the best business lesson of my life.
Yeah.
And I don't even feel animosity toward the guy. I did my own. I'm like, I can spot the red flags faster, and I'm getting so good at it, and I pick exquisite people now. And I allowed myself to go through anger, shock, grief, acceptance, and solution, and it's a non-linear process, because one day you're really pissed off, then another day you're like, okay, one door opens, another one door closes, another door opens,
yeah.
and then you go back to anger next week.
Yeah.
It's a non-linear process, and when you are mature enough internally to do that kind of work, those are the best life lessons that have you grow in exponential ways.
Yeah. I agree.
I've got a lot of work to do. No doubt about that.
That's okay. We're patient with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And all forgiven. All right,
you guys are so funny.
All right, so one more time here. If people want to get a hold of you, where is the best place for them to go?
ShawneeTV, ShawneeTV.com, and of course my baby projectforgive.com, and come play with us on Facebook.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay.
All right, well, Dr. Sean DiPeron, and I can honestly say that now we have had a Nobel Peace Prize nominee on Reinvention Radio. We are taking
Rise
this show.
The ranks.
We're going places.
We are going places. I don't know exactly where we're going, but we are clearly going places with the show. So very cool. And I got to tell you, forgiveness is, I am not real good at that. That is a skill that I have yet to really learn. So all I got to say is, Rich, just, you know, I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. I will forgive you soon. Thank you very much. But all right, for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the show, tuning in here, all, we really do appreciate that. We will talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.